This program was produced at and first aired on MPR, Manawatu People's Radio, with support from New Zealand On Air. Ka pai, irirangi tamoto, MPR. Support this show and others like it by giving a donation. For more information, go to www.mpr.nz/donate.
Kia ora and welcome to another episode of the Joy Jam. I think we are on number 32 if you are listening to these in order. Otherwise, I'm going to refer to this as Season 2, Episode 2. New year, new season, I figure. My name's Marie Gibson, your host of the show. And today, we are talking about personal freedom. Personal freedom to embrace our authentic self. So, I think I'll start off by sharing a story. When I was younger, I wanted to be anyone other than myself. I didn't know how to embrace my authentic self, and so there was a whole range of things that I did to try and make me less me, I guess. I perfected the art of makeup at a very early age. I got quite bad skin as a teenager, so that makeup became a coat of armour. It became a way of me feeling attractive when on the inside I didn't feel attractive. Now, fast forward several years to when I had a car crash. Now, having my car crash and losing my right arm, it was what I thought turned me into a freak. I already felt freakish because of the proportions of my body. Now, for those of you who don't know me, I grew up a really big girl, a lot probably smaller than what I thought I was. However, because I had that distortion, I didn't want to own my body. I turned myself into that incredibly fat woman that I thought I always was. So once I had my car accident, that label of feeling like a freak really, really hit home to me. You know, I remember when I was at high school and I was bullied a lot for my weight. I was a very confident girl in certain social circles. So I was confident in my intellect. So in class, you know, answering questions, on the debating team, when I was on stage. When I was on stage, it gave me an opportunity to be somebody else. But then I would leave the stage and walking through those corridors. Now, those corridors of Hawera High School still friggin' haunt me today. You know, as all the cool kids would be, make way for the bus, and they would all line up on either side of the corridor to make way for me. My friends would sometimes argue back. I never did. I learned to hunch myself over. I didn't walk with pride. I hunched over and I identified and I believed them. Not that I was a bus, but pretty much that I had the proportions of being a bus. So there are all of these labels, I guess, for want of a better word, that I would put on myself as a way of, and they became defining. I felt defined by the proportions of my body, just as I felt defined after I had my car accident that I was now, dare I say it, in my head, I felt like a cripple. I didn't like them referring to the end of my limb as a stump. You know, language play such a fundamental part of the way that we think about ourselves, and that includes the language that we use to speak to ourselves. So today I really want to challenge that idea of beauty. Because now fast forward a few more years, I'm on the cusp of turning 50. I had had weight loss surgery, so to a certain extent, I took control of the proportions of my body. I knew that I had given myself diabetes because of the choices I was making around food. So I am not giving you any kind of dieting episode here. What I'm wanting to show is how we can strip those labels that we give ourselves away, and we can have true personal freedom if only we're prepared to own who we really are. So here I am today, 2 weeks from turning 50. I have one arm. I walk with a crutch. I have scars all over my body. My proportions of my body are unlike other people's. I am not a size 8. I have an apron belly. My tits hang down to my waist, riddled in scars. And then to top it all off, I married a woman. So now, add all of those things. Now, as a teenager, I didn't think that any of that was possible. I did not think I had that personal freedom to make any of those choices. Nor did I think that I had the personal freedom to embrace who I really was. I thought it would be delusional. You know, why would anyone want me when I don't even want me? And that was the record that played and went round and round and round in my head. And yet I've realized it's bullshit. And I applaud the younger generation now for being able to embrace who they are. You know, there's so many messages in the media that says that they are succumbing to just to media. And yet when I go on Instagram, when I look on YouTube, I am inundated with courageous, wonderful people that embrace their difference. My daughter said to me one day, "Mum, you have never been more current." I was like, "Baby, what on earth does that mean?" And she said, "We embrace difference now. In fact, it's trendy to have something unique about yourself." So I'm wondering, what is your uniqueness? Do you have a birthmark covering part of your face? Are you like me in that you've had an amputation? Do you have to wear glasses? Do you wear hearing aids? Is the colour of your skin different to mine? All of these things is what sets us apart and makes us different. And in a world where they're telling us that we all need to look and be a certain way, I see this huge resurgence of people fighting back, that are embracing their true, authentic self. So is it possible just to embrace the unique difference that we are? Well, I'm here to tell you that it is. To be authentic, to be our authentic self, we must embrace our own unique difference. The scars, the limbs, the personal stories. You know, I have story upon story upon story upon story of what has set me apart. A lot of those paths were self-harming. And yet when I look back, I'm not ashamed of that because it's just created me. This just created the person that I am today. I don't feel that I have to fit myself into a box. I am a circular. I am not defined by the sharp edges of the corners that people would put me in. You know, I'm always reminded of in Dirty Dancing, no one puts baby in the corner. Well, I think I lived the first part of my life being baby in the corner, desperate to break free of that. But I thought that I had to be a blonde size 8 to do it. I thought that I had to be rich. I thought a whole lot of nonsense, to be honest. But I embrace that now, and I have never felt more beautiful. So how do we get to a point where we can embrace our true, unique, different self? It's little bit by little bit by little bit, and it starts with the way that we talk to ourselves. So when you look in the mirror, do you look in the mirror to see who you are or what you look like? That may seem counterintuitive because a mirror only shows us what we see, right? Well, I want you to strip that all away and just go right up close to a mirror and make eye contact with yourself. And I want you to just spend a few minutes looking at yourself in the eye. Don't look at your face to look at the hairs on your chin, the wrinkles around your eyes, the wart on the end of your nose, whatever it is. I just want you to stare into your eyes. Now, this practice, while it may seem too simple, I've realized that the most profound things always lie right under my nose. And so looking in the mirror, finding the essence of who I am. So when I look at myself in the eyes and I go deeper and deeper and deeper, it starts off feeling uncomfortable, then I feel a bit silly, and then I start noticing the individual little flecks that are in my blue eyes, and then I go deeper and I go deeper and I go deeper, and then I see it. I see the true essence of who I am. And there is nothing more beautiful than that. I believe that this is true personal freedom. So, am I current? Well, according to the images on YouTube and Instagram, yes, I am. I am married to a woman. Tick as a point of difference. I have one limb. Oh, tick. I now walk with crutches. Well, hopefully that's just going to be a temporary issue. But it may not be. You know, the operations that I'm about to embark on may put me in a wheelchair. Oh, being in a wheelchair, there's another tick. Now, we could look at these as things that signify that our life is over, or we could embrace that point of difference and promote it. We can embrace it, we can promote it, we can shout it from the rooftops, this is me. For any of you that have never watched The Greatest Showman, please go and watch it. That song, This Is Me, it has never been more relevant. Are you the bearded lady? Do you have dwarfism? Do you have, who was another one? The albino. Then we had the trapeze artist that had something else. You know, whatever it is, this is what sets us apart from other people. We are all connected. We are all looking for connection, but we don't all have to be the same. We don't even have to think the same way. We can accept other people's difference with grace, with compassion, and with kindness. But I believe even more important is we have to show that compassion, that grace, that kindness to ourselves. And when you can embrace those differences, then we have that personal freedom. In 2 weeks' time, I'm about to jump out of a plane. And it's because fear has dominated a lot of my life. I was too scared to do so many things. I was too scared to live, really. And I was an innocent bystander watching my life go past. I was the girl on the couch watching people live life through a telly. I was, once we got into social media, because of course I'm of the age where I grew up without social media. But we had magazines, we had the TV, so there was still the subscription to looking and thinking a certain way. Nothing is more boring to me now. I like to dress differently. You know, my clothing is a creative expression of my individuality. And individuality is beautiful. Some of the most beautiful people that I see walking down the street are people that just embrace their point of difference. And they set themselves apart. And if you're prepared to stand in that glowing power of your own light, it's a beautiful thing. We radiate confidence when we're able to stand tall, walk straight, look people in the eye, be able to smile and engage in the world and say, this is me, this is who I am. And just because my body doesn't look like you does not mean that I am not deserving of love and respect. But until I gave myself some respect, my life was always going to go tits up. Self-respect has probably been one of the last pieces of my personal puzzle that I had to, you know, I would fumble around with embracing my body, that I no longer felt defined by having scars, that it didn't matter if I had an apron belly, it didn't matter whether my tits were hanging down to my knees. You know, I had made peace with that, but I was still behaving in a way that was not self-respectful. I was still going out and trashing myself at the pub. I was still waking up in anonymous motel rooms with God knows who. I was still acting in a way that says to the world, I don't love myself and I don't respect myself. So once I realized that self-respect was a value that I did want to pursue, I had to follow that up. I had to walk my talk, and that meant having to give up behaviors that didn't serve that value. So, you know, falling asleep in the toilets at the pub, was I treating myself with respect, or was I using alcohol as a way of self-harming? I was using it as a way to self-harm. When I would gorge myself, you know, I had years as a youngster with bulimia where I would gorge myself till I was purging. All I was doing was punishing myself, thinking that I was this big fat pig and I didn't deserve to treat myself nicely, so now I have to rip my throat as I purge that food out of my body. I know it's gross imagery, but this is what we're doing behind closed doors, people. You know, when you're prepared to sit alongside someone and just listen, without judgment, without prejudice, when we just sit and we listen to people's stories, there are so many people out there that are in pain that behind closed doors, they're not being very nice to themselves. And I am testament to that. So how do we get there? We start off little bit by little bit by little bit, chipping away and challenging that negative self-talk. I call it stinking thinking. And it's those limiting beliefs that limits our freedom. It limits our life. So we are living, but we're not alive. Or we are alive, but we're not living. We are existing, But it's not a level playing field anymore. But it can be. It can be your own personal platform to shout to the world, this is me. This is who I am. This is who I meant to be. I know, I just kind of quoted that song once again. It's become such a part of my personal mantra. You know, a lady said to me once, because I do believe in positive affirmations, but I believe that we have to make them applicable to ourselves. We have to get rid of, it's not good enough to say, I am not a failure, because all our brain is going to hear is the word failure. But as soon as we take that and we replace it with words like success, I am a success. I am powerful. I am kind. I am smart. I am beautiful. If we say that over and over again, it is possible to rewire those pathways in our brain. A lady said to me once on retreat when I was talking about limiting beliefs and positive affirmations, if only positive affirmations worked. And I looked at her, and in that moment, I surprised us both. I think both of our mouths dropped open. I turned around and I said, well, how are your negative ones working for you, love? And I clicked. In that moment, that negative self-talk, they're actually a set of negative affirmations that I use to condition myself. The negative affirmations that you're using to condition yourself into believing and having a core belief that you are not good enough, that you are not worthy of kindness, you are not worthy of compassion, that you're not worthy of love, and that is bullshit. It is more than bullshit. It's fucking lies that you're telling yourself. And if nothing else from this podcast, I want you to challenge yourself and stop believing the lies that you tell yourself. Because these negative affirmations are more damaging to you than possibly even the pandemic that surrounds us. Because it's an insidious disease that sits inside us. Our mind has the capacity to do amazing, amazing things. And yet it also has the capability to destroy our self-esteem, our confidence, our sense of who we are. And it's just not good enough. We are enough just because we breathe. We don't have to subscribe to contouring our face with a certain bronzer, blender, contour, I don't know. Contouring just looks like sticks of crayon when I do it on my face. I'm not saying don't take pride in who you are. Don't take pride in your appearance. Because as I sit here and talk to you, I have dyed hair. I have my teeth glued in. I have a full face of makeup and I'm wearing quite a pretty dress. But I do this for me. I do it as a sense of self-expression. I do it as a way of having pride in myself, but I don't do it so that someone else will look at me and say, yeah, you're good enough. You've got the latest dress on from Tralise Cooper. It's not okay to think that the next best thing is going to be what gets you to feeling like you're enough. I thought having weight loss surgery was going to be the answer to all of my problems. I didn't realize that the same misery, the same negative self-belief came with me. I felt so disappointed when I realized that I was still the same person. I had just lost 90 kilos, but I was still that same person and I still didn't feel good enough. And so then a whole lot of other coping strategies came into place where I was trying to get that same dopamine hit, the same endorphins, serotonin hit that food had given me, that drugs gave me, that alcohol gave me, that cigarettes gave me, that compulsive shopping gave me, that promiscuous sex gave me. And they were all just band-aids, because I would then wake up and I would feel less than enough, because now I felt guilty. Now I felt like a failure because of my behaviour. Actually, when I removed that behaviour, I was able to focus on what I truly wanted in life. And what I truly wanted in life was to feel comfortable in my own skin. A skin that is scarred, a skin that has been hit, that has been beaten, that has been raped, that has been ripped apart and sewn back together. My skin is what sets me apart. My story is unique. No one else has a story like me, just as nobody has a story like you. And when you can embrace your story, you start embracing who you are. You start embracing the essence of who you are. And then you can start living a life in line with your values. Not the values that you think you should have or that your parents expected of you, but your own pure, true values. And when you do that, life can blossom, it can open up, and you can stand in the power of your own light. And when you can stand in the power of your own light, confidence will emanate from your pores. I can promise you this. I am a walking, well, hobbling on crutches example of that. I have never felt more current. I have never felt more blessed. A lot of people, they pity me when they see me because they can't imagine living a life in such excruciating chronic and acute pain. They can't imagine losing their dominant hand. They can't imagine having to give up their career. They can't imagine, well, they don't have to because it's my story. Just as you don't have to compare yours, pain is pain. You don't have to have my story in order to feel your own pain. So when you stop comparing yourself to everybody else, you know, comparison is the thief of joy. I have sung this on this podcast till the cows come home. Comparison is the thief of joy. And when you stop comparing yourself to others, then you are able to stand in your own light. And you can feel beautiful. That's all I've got time for. I hope that from this podcast that you take the time to look yourself in the eye and find the essence of who you are. Write to me. Tell me when you find you, when you embrace you. Nothing is more beautiful. You can find me, Marie Gibson, on Facebook, on Instagram. Not as good on the Instagram. But if you'd like to share this podcast with anybody else, go on to www.npr.nz/show/joyjam. This is episode 32, or as I like to refer to it, season 2, episode 2. Ka kite.
If you're a fan of NPR, listening to our podcasts and live stream has never been easier. Just search for accessmedia.nz on the App Store or Google Play and download the app with the kiwifruit logo. Once you've got it, pick Manawatu People's Radio from the list of stations and go find your new favourite show.